Good morning, members. I'm going to call this meeting of the Conference Committee for State Government Finance and Elections to order. Pursuant to House Rule 10.01, this meeting's being held virtually. Ms. Spreck, can you take the roll, please?
Chair Nelson?
I'm here.
Chair Kiffmeyer?
Present.
Representative Nash?
Present.
Senator Carlson?
Present.
Representative Greenman?
Present.
Senator Howe?
Present.
Senator Curran?
Present.
Senator Lang?
Present.
Representative Mason? Representative Zhang?
Present.
A quorum is present.
Thank you, Ms. Spreck. Members, today we're going to go through the same and similars that we have and we've agreed to on with Senator Kiffmeyer and myself that we've walked through. And as we go through this, I'm going to do like we did the other day, go through the sections that we've agreed to and one by one. And so if there's any questions that people have, the first one has to do with military voting, absentee voters. It's on R. If you want to follow by in your, either on the summary sheet or on the, in your side by side, but it's on page R21 of the side by side. And, it's the same language and it's, House section 22. And, all the sub ones that were same because they're identical language, we're taking the House language. That was Senator Kiffmeyer's and my agreement. Next provision is on the next page, page 22. It's House section 26. And this has to do with absentee ballot application list. And it requires absentee application list be available to the public in the same manner as other public information lists on registered voters. The next item, and I maybe should stop and see if there's any questions on either of those two. The next one would be on page R36, and it's House section 45, and it clarifies the balloting formatted requirements for write-in candidates at a special election. I see no hands, questions on that. The next one is on page R40 of the side-by-side. It's House file or House sections. I keep wanting to say file for some reason, Dave, but House sections 50 and 51. And it requires towns and unorganized territories to notify the Secretary of State when establishing a later voting time to begin at a state primary, a special, or a general election. The next is in on R48, and this has to do with delivery of election returns. And again, we're taking House Section 55, the House language, and it reduces the number of copies from two copies to one copy. That precinct summary statements, all precinct summary statements that must be delivered by the election judges for each precinct on election night. The next section that's the same was on R53, and it's House section 60 and 61, and these specify requirements for ballot formatting at a primary election where vacant offices are being filled by a special election. The next one is on page R54, and it's House language in section 63, and it's about special elections being prohibited from being scheduled around certain dates or on certain dates around surrounding or near a holiday. Hands up on that one. The next one is on page R55. And it's House sections. Senator Howe, you got your hand up.
I was a little slow, but going back to section 63, this is just on holidays, but is there anything in here with regards to trying to fix the debacle we had on the death of a Congress major party candidate? And with that, just asking, is probably not the appropriate place, but that's what triggered my questions. But
we do have a section. There is a House section dealing with that. There was not a Senate provision in the bill in the Senate bill dealing with that. And I was going to talk to Senator Kiffmeyer after we deal with these ones. But that's we do have a provision in the House language that deals with that. Basically the debacle we had. But we can talk about that after we go through the
Thanks. Sorry to interrupt. Yep.
That's okay. Like I said, if I'm going too fast, people aren't keeping up, that's fine. So we were on next, R-55. Anyway, R-55, it's again the House language. Now, let me get here. I'm on the wrong page. Yeah, page R-55, the language from House section 66, 67, and 68. And again, a modified special election standards related to election contest procedures for special elections involving a vacancy. There it is right there, United States Senator. And that's on page R-55. No, I think they've got that wrong when they got that listed here.
It's correct to me, Mr. Chair. They're all three identical. House 66, 67, 68 on page R-55.
Yeah, I'm just saying that's right. I was confusing it with the question that Representative Howe, or excuse me, Senator Howe asked. Yeah, this has to do with if there's a special election to fill a vacant seat at the same time as a regular election to fill the seat, that the special election will be after. And again, it talks about, that's what these three sections take care of. Yes. Okay, then the next one is on page R-58. It's House section 72. And again, it's identical to the Senate language, and it eliminates an obsolete cross-reference in the law governing contracts for electronic voting systems. And that was one that we both had the same language. The next one is page R-60, and again, House language on section 75, and it clarifies law governing ballot formatting when both municipal and school board office will appear on a combined ballot at an election held in an even numbered year. The next is page R-63. It's section 79 on the House language. Eliminates an obsolete reference to publicly available information about a voter's party choice at a presidential election. And members, if you remember last year, we changed that where that we made that non-public data, but if the data does go to the major parties that are having a presidential nominating election or nominating primary. Oath of office on page R-69 is the next same section, House section 87, and oath of office for town officers. And it clarifies procedures relating to taking an oath of office for town officers elected at a special election. The next one is also on R69. It's House Section 88. Again, it's identical to House to the Senate language. Clarifies that a Minnesota election law applies to special elections to fill city council seats. So we'll stop there, make sure everyone's up to date. The next piece we have is starting the same and similars, or excuse me, starting the similars. And the first one is back on page R26. And they were similar with some technical drafting differences. And we're taking House file or House Section 31. And it directs the release of information on rejected ballots after the close of voting on election day. And Senator Kiffmeyer, if I'm messing these up, and if they're wrong from what I got in front of me, I think we caught one thing last night when we were talking if we missed anything, we can fix it now. The next one is a similar one. It deals with absentee ballot boards and signature envelopes. And it's on page R27. We're going to take the House language except for lines 83.6 and 83.5, I believe that was. 83.5 and 83.6 is what we do. And we're going to take the House language except for those two lines.
Repeat that again, please.
On page R27.
Yeah.
We're taking House Section 32 except... Okay. There are two lines there.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Kiffmeyer.
Yeah, the staff put down just 83.6 because that's the only place where it changed. So 83.6 is still correct.
Yeah, that is correct. Yes, we had talked about leaving that whole section or subsection 6 out of there, but it accomplishes the same thing. Mm-hmm. Basically, that has to do with the 14 days.
Okay.
I'm sure I'm in the right place here. And then on R29, we're taking Senate sections 22 and 23. And then on page R48, we're taking the Senate section.
I think it's R32 is next.
You're right. I'm sorry. I dumped out. R32, we're taking Senate language on Senate section 24. That updates standards and procedures related to write-in candidates for certain offices.
Then we can go to R48.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Chair Kiffmeyer. And then on R48, we're taking again Senate Section 37. And the only difference between the two is this has to do with the packets of that ballots that are sent out, that are wrapped up and sent out to the polling places. The Senate language added sealed to that. And we thought that's just more clarity, so we're taking the Senate language. So they'd be sealed and prepackaged ballots, but they can assume that the count on them is correct. The next section is on page R51, and this restates the standards related to requests for publicly funded recounts, and we're taking the House Section 59. Gesundheit.
Thanks.
On page R59, Again, there's similar policies. We're taking the Senate language on that, R59, of in sections 55 and 56. And the difference there was the House language had it as percentages of the votes, where the Senate language is more specific on number of votes, so they didn't have to calculate out the percentages. And then on page R63, ballot format for presidential nomination primary, we're taking the Senate language in section 59, and it clarifies the formatting requirements for presidential nomination primary, so that only parties participating in the primary appear on the ballot. So if a third party, even if it's a major third party, and they don't have a nationwide presidential primary or contest, they would not appear on the presidential primary ballot. So members, any questions on that? Senator
Mr. Kipwa. Chairman? Yeah, thank you. So, Mr. Chairman, I move the adoption of the 5-10-21 proposed agreement on same and similar items as presented to the State Government Conference Committee.
Senator Kiffmeyer moves acceptance of the 5-10-21 proposed agreement on same and similar items in the election policy piece of the State Government and Veterans and Military Affairs Omnibus Bill. Any questions, members? If not, unmute. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. This will be included in our final conference committee report. And then, Senator Kiffmeyer, the item that Senator Howell brought up is on page R32, section 41 in the House language. And that's sprung out of the lawsuit and the court ruling on that section of law we have there for that. And we put in, we have, like I said, the language there says subdivision 6A, candidates for federal office, the section that deals with deaths in office or whatever doesn't apply to federal offices. And I guess is that what you were looking for, Senator Howell?
Well, I guess I'm looking for something, but I don't know if I agree with that. But yeah, that's the topic. But I guess I'll have to do further review.
Yes, and Senator Kiffmeyer, it wasn't only we skipped over that last night, but like I said, that I think that's what Senator Howell was talking about. We can look at that further. But the court ruling was that part of our law, election law, doesn't apply to federal offices because the congressional offices are governed by the federal constitution.
Well, Mr. Chair, on looking at that just now, I see that the difference between the two is similar to other things that we dealt with today as well. If we took the Senate language, I believe everything is identical except for on the House side, but if you'd want to take action today, but I think I'd rather respect Senator Howe's request to just take a look at it further.
Well, and Senator Kiffmeyer, we're talking section 41, not section 40. 41, the Senate doesn't have comparable language.
Oh,
House section 41.
Okay, I was on the page instead of the section. Okay.
Yeah, thank you, ma'am.
Yeah. All right. We'll wait on it then.
Yeah. Anyway, like I said, I was just going to raise it. Like I said, that came out of the federal court ruling that was handed down, which allowed the Angie Craig The second Senate congressional district election to go forward at this at the election normal election time.
Okay, but, we'll talk about that further, Mr. Chair. When
we
can
talk about that further. I just wanted to bring it up as a and as Senator Howell brought it up, I figured we should bring it up and talk about it. I guess that's that was on our agenda for today, members. Are there any questions about us going forward? Representative Zhang.
Thank you, Chair. You know, the other day I, you know, as a vice chair for the Veterans Affairs Committee, you know, lots of constituents and advocates are interested in the Veterans Restorative Justice Act. And do you have any idea when we might be bringing that up?
Either Senator Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Zhang, in regards to that, it's still being vetted on the Senate side, being reviewed, being compared. It's rather complex, especially in merging two. And some think it's real simple, but it isn't. But when we hold our committee hearing tomorrow, I am requesting the courts to come and address the issue that is important to them as a stakeholder. And so I think that might be helpful tomorrow as we have some discussion about that.
Senator, Representative Zhang.
Thank you, Chair Nelson, and thank you, Chair Kiffmeyer. Just want to thank everybody that's been working on this, Senator Lang, working with Representative Feist, who's the House author for that. Do we know, is it someone from the judicial branch that is coming tomorrow?
Yes.
Senator Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, Representative Zhang, that's my intention, is to have someone from the court. Yes.
Representative Zhang.
Oh, thank you, Chair Nelson. Sorry, I was on mute.
Any other questions? So, members, if we have no further questions or comments, so tomorrow is Senator Kiffmeyer. If you want to run down what we're going to do tomorrow, I think you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair. At this time, the main thing is to hear from the courts in regards to specifically that language. We have heard from other stakeholders, but we have not heard. And this conference committee from the court. So that's probably the main thing. And then Chair Nelson and I typically go through things, and it'd be my intention, Mr. Chair, to continue our process. I think we pretty much completed the same and similar on all of our articles. I will check that out. But that is good. But I think the two of us, as we've been doing, discuss things in the evening, hopefully in preparation for the next day, things that we can do. And members, we don't have our targets yet. So without the numbers, some things we have to wait on.
Representative Nash, you had your hand up. You had a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Chair Kiffmeyer just answered my question as to targets. So if we don't have them, sounds like we'll be burning the midnight oil later this week as we plow through that.
Yeah, I Representative Nash, I'm anxiously weighing our targets also. I know they're part of the global agreement. They're still having discussions. Representative Zhang.
Thank you, Chair Nelson. Sorry, I'm going to ask again, another question. Do we have a list of testifiers up for tomorrow, usually, or either, you know, when we're having our hearing?
Representative Zhang, I'm not sure if that... Again, that would be the Senate putting the agenda up on the website today, and I'm not sure if Senator Kiffmeyer, if you have a list yet of people who are willing or wanting to testify about the restorative justice, Senator Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do not have a name yet for the court. As soon as we have a name that can speak to that, then I will post that information.
Thank you, Senator Kiffmeyer. Representative Zhang.
Thank you, Chair Nelson. Maybe this might be a question for Senator Kiffmeyer or Chair Kiffmeyer. Are we looking, is it the Judicial Council or somebody from the judicial branch itself?
Senator Kiffmeyer, I think you already answered, but go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Chair Nelson. Representative Zhang, exactly. It's from the judicial branch, and generally in this case, because it touches the courts, we usually look to a state-level court administrator because they are the overseer whenever we do statewide things, and they have knowledge of the court. The court also has their own rules, like a statute that they use within them, and so it's an important consideration for them because they have oversight over the current they call it something else, but it's Veterans Restorative Justice. We already have, I'm not quite sure of the number, but we'll get that information and hear from the courts in regards to that tomorrow morning.
Thank you.
Hopefully.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Any other questions or any better insights into what's going to happen with our targets, if anyone has? If not, members, I thank you for your time this morning. And as Senator Kiffmeyer said, I think we've gone through all the same and similars. We've got, we'll probably start talking about some of the places where we have differences. Looking at on Wednesday, if we don't have targets by then, possibly bringing up and bringing some people in to talk about the PBM piece. While that language is the same, there have been some discussions and have been some concerns about the exact language and some changes that some people want to do to that. So we may be discussing that on Wednesday if we don't have our targets by then, or going through other sections and discussing some of the differences we have and letting members weigh in on those differences and go from there. So members, if there aren't any further questions, I guess we're adjourned for this morning. Thank you all.